People have come to Canada in so many different ways. Paul came in sadness and in anger. He had been living in California, but the laws had changed so that African Americans, such as he was, could not live where they wished to any longer. They were not free to do the work that was theirs. Paul decided he would not stand for it, and he got on a boat and came north. He got off that boat when he reached Vancouver Island, and he decided that was then where he would stay. In California, he had been a barber, and he had brought with him the tools of his trade, and so he was a barber again, and he was a good one. It wasn't long before there was always someone waiting to get a haircut or a shave, and often there were customers lined up outside the door. And sometimes people would cross town just because they knew he worked so well. Time went by, and Paul was pleased with the decisions that he had made and with what he had achieved. But then one day, as he was shaving someone's chin, and he looked in the mirror, he saw that there were grey hairs in his head. He began to think then how he would not always be able to do the work of the barber shop, and he began to wonder who it would go to when he was gone. He used to go to a little cafe in the evening sometimes, and he had friends there, and so he discussed it with them. One of them said, "Well, you have three daughters. You know how it is. When there is an inheritance, it always goes to the oldest one. Your oldest daughter is the one who should have the barber shop." But Paul thought about that for a moment, and then it seemed to him not fair. And so another friend said, "Well, divide the barber shop between them." And Paul gave thought to that as well. But he knew it was not a very large business. It would not support three families, and he had a feeling that perhaps his daughters might want families of their own. So another friend said, "So give it to your daughter, the one who is the best barber." And Paul thought about that. And he thought how he had trained all his daughters himself. And it was true. There was one who perhaps kept the place a little tidier, one who was a little better at doing the accounts, one who would wash the combs and brushes with more diligence. But they were all good barbers. There was not a daughter who was the best. Still, there had only been a few grey hairs in Paul's head. And so, though he worried for a little, he did not worry long. And more years went by. And then one day he looked in the mirror, and he saw that his head had gone completely white. And now he began to worry about the matter of his inheritance a great deal. So much so that sometimes he could not sleep at night. On one such night he got up and he started to walk through the town. He walked and he walked, and there was moonlight. And all of a sudden, he knew what he would do. He came home, went to bed, went to sleep, got up in the morning, just as usual. But when the banks opened, he put a notice on the door, "Back in 10 minutes," and he went to the bank. And that night he called his daughters to him, and he said, "This is how we will decide. I am going to give each one of you $100 bill, and I'm going to send you out into the world. Whichever one of you can come back at the end of a year with enough to fill the barber shop in every corner, she is the one to whom it will go." And the next morning he did just as he had promised. He gave to each of his daughters a $100 bill. They set out, and he settled down to wait. He didn't have to wait very long. at the end of the week, the eldest daughter came back. She had a new fur coat, new dress, new shoes. He knew where the money had gone. And she told him she didn't want to be a barber. The hours were too long, the pay too little, the work too hard. And so he gave her his blessing, and he sent her on her way. And he waited again. It took a little longer this time, but at the end of a month, his second daughter came as well. She was angry. She said she had spent all that time racking her brains. She had driven herself crazy with it. She thought it was a trick. All she could see was that the only way to fill the barbershop in every corner was to get a load of dirt in, and that would ruin it for sure. And Paul gave her his blessing, and he told her to keep the $100, and he sent her too on her way. And now he settled down to wait for his youngest daughter. He had a little calendar, and he put it up in the barbershop, and he marked off the days. And the days went by, and the days went by, and they turned into weeks, and into months, and his youngest daughter did not come. And then it was the last month. Somehow often, he found himself out on the step, looking up and down the street, hoping to see her. And then it was the last week. And sometimes he couldn't help himself. He might be in the middle of cutting someone's hair, and he would put the scissors and the combs down, and he would go and stand on the step again. And then it was the very last day. He got up in the morning. He got up early. He flung open the door to the barber shop, but she wasn't there. He worked all day, although often he had to go and stand on the doorstep as well. But then the day was over. The last customer had been served. Dusk was coming. Paul went to stand on the doorstep one last time. He looked up the street. He could not see her. He looked down the street. And there she was. There she was, coming towards him. She didn't have anything with her. But still, he welcomed her, brought her inside. He asked her if there was anything she would like to eat or drink. She said no. No, not yet. She went and fetched a little table, and she put it right in the centre of the room. And then, from her pockets, she took just one candle, and she set that candle in the centre of the table. And she took out a match, and she lit the candle. The light from the candle went into every corner of the barbershop, filling it full. Paul let out a great laugh. And that filled the barber shop in every corner too. He laughed because he knew. Truly this, his youngest child, truly she was the one to whom the business should be going. For she was the one who had shown wisdom. And wisdom is a light for all the world. And so it was, in time. Paul's youngest daughter took over the barbershop. And so it has been, on down through the generations. There has always been someone in that family who would inherit the business and keep it running. And if you went to that place even to this very day, if you were a man and you needed your chin shaved or you needed a haircut, you would probably find that the work was being done by one of Paul's descendants.